All right, welcome to our second, let me just get this set up, second group coaching call for Slow Down and Tune In. If you are here with me live, let me just, I can see quite a few of you joining me. How exciting. Say hi to me, let me know who is here, even though I can see your names popping up. Just let me know that you can hear me, say hi to me, let me know where in the world you are dialing in from. Thank you to all of you who have made the time to be here with me. I've got some great questions to cover today. Got some great questions to cover today. We're going to be talking about, let me just give you a little overview. I've got questions about emotional eating, about integrating self-care when you're feeling really overwhelmed and burnt out with work, how to say no to friends and family, if you are needing to make time for yourself, how to work through really loud, negative, critical self-talk, channeling. Someone's asked me about the feeling of channeling higher guidance and how and what that experience is like for me. How to make space for yourself when you're in a relationship. That's a good one. And also some questions around morning routine, and someone's asked some sort of specific questions around aspects of my morning routine and also things she wants to integrate and some sort of practical questions around that. So we've got a really beautiful mix of questions. Thank you to everyone who sent them through. I can't wait to dive into them. Maddie, it's snowing here in Colorado, in Denver. Excited to start. Beautiful. Get nice and cozy, snuggled up. See if I can turn this light up a little bit. Sometimes you turn it up and it's actually not better. Can I go any brighter? Sorry, just it's weird because it casts a shadow and then it actually doesn't look as good. Okay, that's all right. Georgie's here from Washington. Oh my God, I love that we have such an international community. This is so cool. It's probably actually easier for people who aren't in Australia to join because most people would probably be like, it's 9 a.m., Con, I'm going to work. But you guys can dial in on Tuesday night, which is awesome, or Tuesday afternoon. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to dive on in. I'm going to start working through the questions. If at different points you want to share things in the comments, if you have any thoughts or feelings or reflections on anything I'm sharing, type away with me in the comments. I'll pause and check in with them through the call. And if you have any additional questions and we have time at the end, I'm aiming to run for around an hour today. If we have time at the end and you have additional questions, I'll give you the opportunity to ask them as well. Jackie from Minnesota, thank you. Beautiful to have you here. Thank you for joining me. All right, let's dive on in, friends. Let's get started. Okay, question one. This is a really beautiful one around emotional eating, and I can relate to this very much personally. It's been something I've struggled with, particularly when I was younger. But the question is, I'd love to hear your thoughts on emotional eating and numbing emotion with food and other things, which I'm pretty sure we can all relate to. I'm pretty sure all of us have experienced the tendency to want to avoid our feelings through food or using other things to distract ourselves. Beautiful. Lisa's saying, looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to diving into everything as well. So I'm just trying to see if I can get that a bit brighter. Oh, it just doesn't work when I turn it up more. Just got to not get distracted by by my light. This is typical Con. I get distracted by it. Okay, so we talk in this module, so module four, the one I've just released. In video three, I talk to you and I guide you through how to support yourself when big emotions come up, because we absolutely, most of us fall into the pattern and have the tendency of when there are big emotions, there's discomfort, we do want to numb out and avoid because we don't know how to deal with it. It feels uncomfortable in our body. And what we're doing, say with something like emotional eating, we're reaching for a more pleasurable emotional state in that moment. So understand you're feeling maybe something that doesn't feel that pleasurable, that good, that enjoyable in your body, whatever the emotional discomfort is. And food actually allows us to change our state. It changes our emotional state. And what it will often do is will either help us numb out to the feeling, or it will help us access a better feeling, a more positive feeling. Like you eat some chocolate and you get that warm rush of like pleasure. you've just shifted your emotional state. So what you're actually trying to do in that moment is shift your emotional state, but it's happening through something that maybe doesn't feel overly healthy or supportive. So what we want to do is understand there's something you're feeling that feels uncomfortable. You are desiring to shift that in some way, and we need to learn new ways. Sorry, I'm every time I get too animated, my stack of books wobbles on the couch. We need to find new ways to be able to shift our emotional state into better feelings without using things such as food or all the other things that we use, right? So the first thing I encourage people to do, and you know, work through this module, you will find there's a lot of tools in here around how to actually, particularly video three, how to support yourself through big emotions. But the first thing is to be able to pause and recognize and ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? So before you might witness yourself wanting to go to the cupboard, the fridge, wanting to get the food. See if you can pause before then, before you act on that, and just take a moment to ask yourself, how am I feeling right now? Actually check in with what's going on for you. And you might say, I feel empty and lonely. I feel anxious. I feel worried. I feel overwhelmed. I feel sad. I feel angry. I feel numb. Whatever. So begin to be like, okay, what am I feeling? Let me just identify that. And then witness in myself, there's a part of me wanting to use food, social media, sex, television, online shopping, whatever it is, to avoid that feeling. And then we make a choice in that moment. This is almost like catch, witness, choose again that we did in our mindfulness class. Then we make a choice in that moment to handle this differently. So we can see that impulse to go into the avoidance. And we do our best. We may not be perfect at this. But we might ask ourselves then, what triggered this feeling? So what can I see is the cause behind what I'm feeling? Is it something I've been telling myself? Is it something I'm focusing on? Did I just spend the past hour on social media comparing myself to someone else? Am I replaying that mistake I made at work all day and beating up on myself? What has triggered this feeling? So again, this is just understanding yourself in a deeper way, because you can't truly meet your own needs until you understand yourself and until you really understand what's going on for you. This is such deep self-love work, is to take the time to understand what's going on for you in that moment. Then you might ask yourself, okay, what am I needing and what am I wanting to feel? And it might be, you know what, I just want relief from this. I just want to stop worrying about this or thinking about this. You know, and that's what food allows us to do. It allows us to get relief from the feeling. It distracts us. It changes our emotional state. So what are you actually seeking in that moment? Okay, I'm wanting relief. I'm wanting to feel lighter. I'm wanting to feel happier. I'm wanting to feel supported. I'm wanting to feel soothed. I'm wanting to feel comforted. Comforted is a big one for why we reach for food. I'm wanting to feel connected. Connected is another reason we reach for food. We get to connect with ourselves through it. So understand there's a need there, that at the moment that food is meeting that need. That whatever behavior you're running, it's meeting your need. And if you can see what the need is, you can choose a new way to meet that need. So I would say, okay, what I'm feeling, what I'm wanting, what I'm needing, let's say it's relief from this discomfort. Let's say I'm wanting to feel happier, whatever it is. Okay, so one way to meet that need is to go to the fridge and eat the food. Is there another way that I can support myself in this moment to feel that way? What is a healthy, empowering choice that I will feel proud of as a way that I can support myself with this? And it might be, and I take you through this in video three, sitting down with yourself, working through the emotion, unpacking it in your journal might be one thing. It might be taking yourself out for a walk around the block. It might be putting on a song and dancing. It might be choosing to make yourself a healthier meal that you still really enjoy, but you know will be more nourishing for you. It might be jumping on the phone with a friend and getting some support. It might be running yourself a bath and just doing something really nice for yourself that will comfort you. And I understand, you know, things like emotional eating are addictive. So it's not going to give you whatever the healthier choice is you choose. It's not going to give you that intense spike that, say, food does. But over time, it will, over time, it will become a replacement. If you can actually learn how to soothe yourself and support yourself through what you're feeling in that moment rather than avoiding it, uncovering what you really need and then finding a healthy way to give that to yourself. That's worked a lot for me over the years. I struggled with emotional eating so much through my 20s. I did have an eating disorder and had a binge purge pattern. And I also was like addicted to chocolate. Addicted. I had to have chocolate every day. If I didn't have it, I would feel so deprived. But do you know what? All of that came from me being really unhappy. As soon as I got onto my true path in life and set up my business and started doing what I was truly here to do in the world, all that fell away. Because I wasn't empty and sad and I wasn't forcing myself anymore to show up in a job that I hated. The more that I began to get to know myself and do what made me happy and make myself proud and show up for my dreams, all my emotional eating patterns fell away. It's not even an issue for me anymore. Not even an issue. That's where I started. I started with this process that I just shared with you. So I hope that's really helpful. Okay. I have a very fast-paced, stressful job and it takes up a lot of my time and energy. Hang on, let me just double check that I am recording. I was just about to check that. Okay. Overall, I really enjoy my job, but lately I find myself feeling constantly overwhelmed and burnt out. It's to the point that self-care and things I want to do for myself just seem like another chore on my never-ending to-do list of something to refill my cup. I'm struggling to find the consistent energy and motivation to slow down, honor myself, and practice self-care. So I'm not sure if you watched the previous coaching callers yet, but there was one of the questions in there that was actually quite similar to this. And one of the things I'd said to the woman on there, if you hadn't seen that, maybe go back and watch that, but I'll repeat a little bit here again, is it is really important that self-care doesn't feel like a chore, and self-care doesn't have to be a doing practice. So it doesn't have to be all these things that we do, which again, actually expend energy, which take us more into doing mode, which take us more needing to rush because we're trying to cram in all the things we need to do. And what I'd said to this woman on the previous call was, can you bring in practices, really feminine-based practices that are less about doing and are more about being, that are very gentle and simple and soft, and actually really determine, this is what I'd said in the previous call too, identify how you want to feel as a result of practicing self-care. So I want to feel refilled, right? And I want you to assess all of the things you're doing as self-care and actually ask, does this leave me feeling full? Does this leave me feeling full? Or does it leave me feeling depleted? Does it leave me feeling stressed? And if any of it leaves you feeling not full, get rid of it. It's not serving the purpose it's meant to serve. And you might only find there's that one thing that leaves you feeling really full. And it might be that you have a bath each evening and you just sink on in and soak into that. It might be like, sometimes I just lie on the floor on my back and just listen to one of the songs on my Slow Down and Tune In playlist. And that is not a doing practice. That is a full surrendered receiving self-care practice that's very nourishing. It might be that, you know, 5-minute little body massage that you give yourself in the morning when you're putting on your body cream. It can be really simple things that I think it's so important that we, with self-care, it's all guided by how we want to feel, not by what we should be doing and what it looks like. And you want to just try different practices until you find a practice that actually genuinely leaves you feeling full. And again, it could be like, I mean, I feel the most full putting on some music and like doing a beautiful sensual dance in the morning, much more sometimes than when I sit down and do an hour long routine of journaling and tarot cards and crystals and yoga. And sometimes like 5 minutes dancing to a beautiful feminine song, just like, oh, I feel so nourished by that. So yeah, get clear on how you want your self-care to feel, really simplify it. Only do the self-care that actually creates those feelings and look at self-care practices that are less doing and more about being and surrendering and receiving. Less energy expenditure and more like just filling up type of self-care. So I hope that helps. And yeah, listen to the other call because we talked about it a little bit there as well. All right, one thing I'd love to get your thoughts on is how to lovingly say no to friends and family. I really struggle with making space for myself because I have a wide network and I really enjoy being social, but I'm also really trying to slow down. And I found myself needing to come up with white lies to turn down plans. And I know that's probably not the best approach. Okay, this is a big one. I've really struggled over the years with this too, with how to say no, particularly if you've got a lot of people who want to connect with you and you enjoy being social and you've got a wide network of people that you need to navigate this with. It's easier when you've only got a few people that you sort of tend to spend time with. So there's a couple of things with this. I always encourage people to tune into themselves, obviously. And you might need to take some time to really think about what you want from your friendships and your connections. So sometimes we have the tendency just to say yes to everything, don't we? And we're not really taking the time to be like, okay, out of all these connections that I have, friends, family, maybe my partner, maybe just, you know, sort of extended friends who I don't really know that well, or my deep, like best friends, which of these really nourish me the most? Which of these are the most important to me? Which of these are the ones that, like, if I was to categorize them in order of both importance to me and how they leave me feeling, how would I order them? And to me, that helps me with how much energy I give to them and how much I prioritize them. So sometimes with really close friends and family, even if I'm feeling really depleted and tired and I need self-care, I might still say yes to them because they're so important to me, the nourishing the relationship and the connection. But that's a conscious choice I make. Whereas with more people in my more extended network, I might be like, oh yeah, I enjoy those catch-ups every now and then, but they're not ones I'm going to say yes to all the time because they're just not simply as important to me. So you might need to assess a little bit firstly, really get clear on where am I actually wanting to start saying no? Where are the places where I want to begin practicing this no? Is there certain relationships and friendships that, I'm saying yes when they're actually really not my most important ones? I think just getting clear on that and really noticing how you feel in each of them and which ones, what this is going to look like for you to start saying no. So for me, you know, I'll very often always say yes to my partner, to my family, and to very close friends within reason. I'm going to talk about the no part in a minute. But yeah, my no is much more with extended people where I don't know, I could say yes out of obligation, or I could really deeply honor myself and be like, you know, I'd rather keep my energy for myself. And maybe, you know, you get clear on how often you do want to be being social. Like sometimes, again, I know people, you might say yes to doing social stuff 4 nights a week. And then you might actually need to get clear on yourself and be like, okay, I can only put 2 social things per week in my calendar. That to me is a boundary of what is going to allow me to have enough energy for myself. So then that becomes the guideline of how you manage what you're saying yes to. But when it comes to being able to say no, one of the things that I've found has worked a lot for me, because sometimes I do need to say no to family, I do need to say no to my partner, and I do need to say no to best friends. What I've done, which has helped me, is just be honest. Just be honest, and particularly speak from feeling, because what many of us find hard to do is to reveal to people how we're really feeling and where we're really at. And people will understand your no much better if they understand why you're saying it. Because people can receive a no as a rejection, or, oh, I'm not important to them, or, well, they were out last week with this person, why are they saying no to me now? Or, oh, is that person saying no because they don't want to come to these types of events anymore? You know, people can receive a no in a lot of different ways. And if you're not telling them why you're saying no, you're right, they might receive it in a negative way. But I find when we make ourselves vulnerable and speak from our heart and get really honest, it's received much better, particularly for the people who really care about you. So I would start with feeling-based sentences in terms of how you're currently feeling and why you need to say no. So I might be like, you know what, I'm feeling so depleted at the moment. I just can't put anything else in my calendar right now. I'm feeling really overwhelmed and overcommitted. I just need to have a couple of weeks of space in my calendar because there's just so much going on. Or, you know what? I've come to the end of the week. I'm exhausted. I'm actually not going to have any social stuff on this weekend. I'm just going to have the weekend for me. Or, you know what? I'm really not coping right now. I'm feeling X, Y, Z, and so I need this. Or I'm learning how to, I'm practicing how to say no so I can make more time for self-care. Or really genuinely speak from your heart. Like, I've had a lot of family commitments. My family's all down in Melbourne that I've missed because I've had to just really genuinely say, I'm sorry, like, I'm so stretched with work at the moment. I feel really overwhelmed, and coming down for this trip would just feel like it's just putting so much more on my plate than I can handle right now. And when you speak from that place, people get it, you know? And the people who don't get it maybe aren't supposed to be in your life, because I find when I communicate that to my friends in that way, people really get it. And they respect you because you're demonstrating self-love. You're demonstrating self-honoring. You're demonstrating boundaries. And then they don't take it personally because they realize, oh, this isn't about me at all. It's about, like, she's got some stuff going on for her right now. And I can empathize, because we all do. So I've just found that's worked. You know, I remember going through this a few years ago with girlfriends who were big into drinking, and every single thing I got invited to involved a lot of drinking. And I was really feeling at that time that I didn't want to drink, and that I didn't want to say yes to social things that involve drinking because I'd be tempted. So I would communicate to them. I'm like, look, it's just really important to me to be practicing not drinking at the moment. And I don't want to put myself in these types of situations. So I'm going to say no, but if you girls, you know, go out for lunch or something, please invite me. And unfortunately, this group of friends just didn't get it. No matter how many times I tried to express it, they just kept challenging me on it. They kept trying to twist my arm. They was peer group pressure. And I was like, you know what? These friends just, it's all about them. It's not about me. They're not hearing me. They're not respecting me. And maybe they're really not the friends that I thought they were if they can't put their prerogative to the side and actually understand where I'm coming from. So I ended up distancing myself from those friends. And the friends that I have now are people who I could say anything and they'd be like, oh, Con, I get it. Don't worry about it. Let's do it next week instead. So the more that you be really genuine and authentic, you know, it could even just be like, oh, you know, I've been out 3 nights this week, and I really made a commitment to myself that that's my max of kind of social commitments in a week. So how about we do it next week instead? Yeah, I find that honest communication helps people really understand it. It, you know, it allows them to then be like, oh, are you okay? Can I support you? What's going on for you? Like, they actually get to understand. And then it shows you the people who are really going to be your true friends in terms of how they respond to that. Even I had this experience with my partner last night. I had said to him, do you want to have dinner tonight? And he immediately said no. And I was like, oh, like, I found that a bit, I was a bit offended. And he was like, no. And then we got off the phone, and then he called me later and he was like, actually, let's do dinner tonight. And I was like, oh, okay, you've got time for me now, do you? And he goes, no. He goes, I've just been feeling really overwhelmed and stressed with all this stuff that I've got going on. And he goes, I haven't wanted to make a commitment because I don't want to then cancel the commitment. And once he explained to me why he said no, I was like, oh, I get it. You were feeling overwhelmed and you didn't want to let me down by making a commitment and then having to cancel it. And it was so much nicer for me to hear why he said no versus just getting a no and then being confused and being like, why doesn't he want to spend time with me? You know? And his willingness just to be a bit vulnerable and be like, I'm really overwhelmed right now, it made it so much easier for me to understand and then support him. Yep. Does that make sense? All right. Let's see if we can get that light a bit brighter. That's a bit better. Beautiful. I'm just going to see what someone has shared here. I've recently figured out that suggesting something different, if the activity itself sounds draining to me, is almost always responded to positively. Beautiful. Like watching a movie instead of going out, or an early dinner before everyone else goes out to bars and clubs. Beautiful. Sorry, I'm just trying to get this. That's a great suggestion as well. If you're finding the offers that are coming in are a bit out of alignment with what you want to be doing, you can then suggest an alternative that's more in alignment with the things that you want to be doing. You can absolutely find middle grounds with people for sure. And I did that a lot too. When I stopped going out at night drinking, we began having daytime lunches, and beautiful. And that is, again, just like, that's still you speaking your truth, isn't it? And saying, I still want to see you, but I'm honoring myself, and here's how I'd love to spend our time together. What do you think about that? Thank you for that example. That's a really good one too. Good suggestion. All right. This is a big question. And I know the beautiful woman who asked this is on the call. So we're talking about self-talk, negative self-talk, and the self-talk, particularly doubt, that tries to tell you that you can't do what you want or have what you want. So this woman shared her journey around her work, how she speaks to herself in her work and career, which I can absolutely relate to, being very at war with myself at different times in my career path. She says, I cognitively know and technically I am a high-performing individual with a great work ethic, and that my supervisors have always commented on that. So on some level, she sort of has this knowing that she's great at what she does, and people have validated that. I graduated top of my class in a difficult university program, and I could have continued in that field, but it didn't make me feel excited or alive anymore. Totally get it. So she quit, and she said, I've been bartending full-time for 3 years now, and I'm desiring a change around my career really badly, but my self-talk is really defeating and down and out sounding. She's saying, I don't believe in myself. I feel afraid to admit that I want a different job because I don't want to fail. The self-talk is all this stuff around, you're a phony, you're never going to be able to figure it out, you won't get the job, there's nothing impressive to even make a resume with, who do you think you are to start a business, you'd be lucky to get an entry-level position, you're not good enough, smart enough, old enough, skilled enough, experienced enough, determined enough. Yeah, well, like a lot of us bump up against all of this. And if any of you have encountered this along your journey, please share what's helped you and what's supported you, because this is difficult stuff to work through in ourselves sometimes, when the self-talk that we have feels so overpowering and strong and dominant and actually like right. Like we go, yeah, we kind of are believing it. It's really our truth. So yeah, completely get it. I guess there's going to be a few, hang on. So then she also says, I can't seem to start believing that I actually deserve the credentials I've earned or that I'll ever be successful at anything besides what I'm doing right now. I'd love to hear more of your thoughts around how you can reprogram your thoughts and really, when you really truly don't believe in yourself in an area. I want to talk about this from a couple of different perspectives, because there's a few different ways that we can kind of be tackling this. And like I said, if anyone's worked through stuff like this in this area, please share kind of what's worked for you. But I remember encountering this when I wanted to become a life coach. And I'm not sure what the change is. If you want to let me know what the changes you're wanting to make in your work, if you're wanting to start a business, what it is, and we can talk about that. But I wanted to be a life coach, and I had every one of these stories and more. Like, I had no belief in myself whatsoever. I just didn't think there was any possible way. Like, me being on video now, you know, 7 years ago would have been mortifying. Like, I used to just blush and go red and get so embarrassed when someone would look at me. Like, when I had to be the center of attention and talk, it was so uncomfortable. So you can absolutely grow into whoever you feel you need to be or want to be in your work. You absolutely can. But I relate to this a lot because I had all of the self-doubt. Now, when I was looking at myself through the lens of my mind, the way my mind would look at me, all of that thinking was really real. I had no proof or evidence to show that I could do what I wanted to do. I looked at myself and I didn't see any of the qualities of any of the other life coaches out there that would indicate to me I had the qualities to be a life coach. I didn't have anyone else in my life who I'd ever seen do this. Like, I didn't have, you know, my background of skills weren't really relevant to what I wanted to step into. But what really helped me was I stopped following, like I had to access a different form of guidance, because for me, and this is why I'm curious what the work is you want to do, for me, the work I wanted to do in the world was an inner calling. It was something calling at me. It wasn't even me that was coming up with it. It was like a knowing that this is what I was here to do. And my mind was fighting with it. But what I had to do was find the part of me that gave me this vision. I had to find the part of me that gave me this desire, that was showing me, do this career path, set up this business. This is what you're here for. And when I came in to find that part of me, then I had to listen to her voice, not the voice of my mind. Because if the voice in your mind's all, like, it's always going to be limiting. But this is where, you know, we'll talk about this a lot more through the accessing your guidance moving forward. If you can find the place where the desire was born from, and it will most likely be your heart. If you can feel that place in your body where, you know, when you get that spark of desire of like, oh, this is what I'd love to do. This is what I feel is next to me. This is what I'm excited about. This is what I'm passionate about. That's the place you have to find. And so I began to let that feeling guide me rather than my head. And my head fought with me the whole time, but I would spend time every day tuning into the vision. And this is what I want to ask you as well. Do you have a vision? Because whatever you focus on is going to determine the thoughts you have access to. And if we're focusing on where we've been, sort of the evidence we have right in front of us, our thinking is all going to be around that. But if we have a compelling vision, a vision of where we want to be 5 years from now, a vision of what our dream job would look like, a vision of the career path we want, the business we want to build, if we have a vision of that and we focus on that and we align our energy with that, we then get access to thinking that's in alignment with that. So wherever you're putting your focus is where your thinking is going to go. And so part of this, I think, is actually taking your focus off where you are and where you've been, creating a compelling vision, a vision of what it would look like. I want you to journal about, even if you don't believe it now, I want you to spend some time journaling about what would be your dream job. What would it look like? How would it feel? Who would you be? I did this for my business. I spent so much time journaling about my vision, creating vision books, cutting out my face and sticking it on the heads of, you know, on the bodies of other people who were successful to access that feeling, creating fake life coaching certificates to activate the feeling of being a life coach, even though I didn't believe any of it was possible. But I began to put energy into a vision. I created a vision that felt really inspiring, and I spent time every day focusing on that. I didn't know how I was going to get there. I didn't know whether I was capable of it. In fact, I didn't believe I was capable of it, but that didn't stop me every day putting energy into the vision and imagining it and activating in my body the feeling of being that person. Because this is the other thing, whatever emotional and energy state you're in, again, determines what thoughts you have access to. So if in that moment in our body, we're feeling flat and defeated and disempowered, that emotional state gives us access to thoughts that are of the same vibration. We have to change our emotional state to get access to different trains of thinking. Because if your body is in a state of disempowerment, you can't access thoughts that feel like empowerment. You can't access it. You're not in alignment with it. So we actually have to shift our emotional state first, and that allows us to access different ways of thinking. So that's why the vision for me helped activate different emotions in me. It helped me feel the feeling of having it. And as I would tune into that, I'd start to hear the thoughts that were in alignment with it. You know, the thoughts of like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but this just feels so right to me. This feels like my destiny. It makes me feel so excited to imagine doing this. And you know what? I'm going to figure this out. right now, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do my best. I'm going to show up one step at a time and I'm going to break through my fear because I want this, because I can feel it. And I believe that if I keep working at it, it's possible for me. And then look for examples of other people who, you know, I'm an example of it. People who previously didn't think something was possible and then they proved themselves wrong and they did it. So we need a vision. We need to spend time accessing the energy of having it, of being that person that will pull us out of our current energy state. Also doing things that shift your state. So before you sit down to do anything on your career, whether it's work on your resume, apply for jobs, map out your business plan, whatever it is, ensure you're in a good emotional state first. So you want to work on your state. So that might be playing a song that you just dance to for 10 minutes that like raises your vibes. It might be listening to an inspiring podcast. It might be going for like a 10-minute run around the block. You want to get your emotional state higher vibration, feeling empowered, inspired, excited, then sit down and work on your dreams. Then write your resume, because you're going to have access to different trains of thinking if you change your emotional state. So they're the things that really helped me. And I promise you, I didn't believe in myself when I started. I have built my belief along the way. And it's the biggest trap, is we sort of feel like before we can get started on something, we have to be 100% in full belief of it. You build that belief along the way. And this self-talk can play out until the cows come home, but it's up to you to decide, is this self-talk going to stop me? That self-talk is still with me even to this day. I still battle to this day with negative self-talk, but I don't let it stop me. I witness it, I notice it, and I go, okay, cool, thanks. Yeah, but I'm going to keep moving forward. What's the next step I can take right now? What's the next step I can take right now? So that's how I've worked through it over the years. I'm not sure if that's helpful, but again, I think it's so important that whatever you're wanting to create, particularly in your work, that it comes from your heart. It's something you're passionate about. It's something you're excited about. It's something you really desire. And if you feel that activation of your heart energy, you can then go into your heart and ask your heart, okay, what's your guidance? What thoughts would I be thinking from this heart space? And that's when I started thinking things like, Connie, it's not about you and whether you're good enough. It's about sharing your wisdom. It's about helping people. It's about showing up for what you know you're destined to do in the world. And I began to let my heart energy guide me rather than my mind. Yeah. I hope that's helpful. Because again, the trap we can fall into with some of the mindfulness work is to feel like I have to get rid of this self-talk or change my mindset before I can move forward. I mean, you definitely do want a positive mindset there. Sorry, my lighting flipping in and out. You definitely do want a positive mindset, but your mindset will probably change along the way the more that you continue to show up, and then you'll get evidence to prove to you, oh, look, I did that interview actually really well, or I just got some really great feedback. And you can change your story as well, is another thing. So it might feel like a stretch, but if you were to write out, how would I love to be thinking about my career? How would I love to be speaking to myself in the area of my career? Now, she's done the exercise on this in the workbook, and the voice in the mind is still really loud, but we just keep working it. I mean, my negative inner voice is oftentimes so loud, but I'm always still trying to reach for a different train of thinking, something that comes from love and comes from my heart. And like I said, changing your emotional state will help you get access to different trains of thinking. Let's see if there's anything else I want to say on this. I mean, I really empathize. I understand how challenging this can be when we're bumping up against this stuff. But we reclaim our power when, yeah, we witness it, but we don't let it guide our actions. You just bring it with you. yeah, you bring it with you. I hope that helps. If there's anything further you want support with on that, let me know and we can talk about it in a further way in another call. Okay, question. How do you feel channeling, or how do you describe it? Yeah, this is a really interesting one. So, so hard to put into words. So, yeah, what some of you may know, I mean, if you listen to my podcast or if you've heard me talk about it, I work with one particular spirit guide who I channel, and it's where I feel his words move through me and I can write them and speak them. And they're not thought the words that come from me. They feel like they drop in and I download them, and they move through me. So I find it really hard to explain this. The thing that I've noticed the most is that when it's coming from him, I get this rush of energy that comes with the words. So when I start to hear certain words, and when I say hear, it's like sometimes it's like I hear them in my ear as like someone's whispering a word to me. Other times it's like it runs in as a second train of thinking along my thinking. Other times it's like I think it's my thinking. Like I think it's me thinking it, but then the more that I explore it, it feels really different to my own thoughts. But what I've noticed is there's this feeling that comes with it. When I really start to get into the flow of flow writing his words, this energy moves through my body and my heart of like this high vibrational joy. And I'm often finding myself saying, wow, wow, because as I'm writing out his words and I'm feeling the vibration of them, it's almost quite overwhelming. Wow, this is profound. This is beautiful. Like I'm witnessing it and I'm feeling like I'm just getting this beautiful joy and high vibration and love. Even the other day, I started crying because it just felt like the most pure loving guidance that was coming through. I don't think we need to get too caught up on, is it channeling? Is it your intuition? Where's it coming from? So when I start flow writing or when I start sharing things, sometimes it's sort of me and him combined. It's sort of like I'm hearing him, but it's still me doing it. But then the more I surrender into it, the more I feel like it then just becomes him. And I'm finding whenever I'm typing his words, the energy just moves so quickly that my hands can't keep up. Like I'm just typing like this, and it's like I'm not even doing full stops and commas. It's just flowing through me so fast. Like, and I know it's not me because I'm not thinking. It's like the words are just dropping in and they're flowing right through my hands. I also know it's not me because the language that is used is just not my language. It's just stuff I would never say. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I write and I read it back and I'm like, I would never say that. Like they call me dear one. He calls me dear one. So whenever he starts to say dear one, or he said something the other day and used the word nirvana, and I'm like, I would never use the word nirvana. I hear words like diamond consciousness, or the energy codes of the ascended earth realm, or the collective consciousness of, because I hear interesting phrases that I'm like, I don't even know what that means. I don't know what diamond consciousness means. I don't know what these ascended energy codes means. And I start to, and then I'm like, oh, this is some other being that's telling me these things, because this isn't how I think. This isn't how I talk. So that's really how I know. And then I'll get a lot of metaphorical images. So I'll just see images of things that convey meaning. So yesterday when I was writing, what happened was it started off as me sort of writing, and then I began to feel him come in, and then the writing got taken over and my hands started moving really fast, and then I started getting these like big waves of energy through my heart of like this high vibrational love energy, and I was just like, wow, wow, wow. And then I started to get this image drop in of this elevator analogy that I would never think of this stuff. And he was showing me that the way we click into different realities is like moving up and down an elevator. And I was getting these images of an elevator that was at level 5. And when the doors open at level 5, there's one reality. And then I saw this image of the elevator going up to level 6. And then the door opens and there's this other reality. So I was getting these images that were an analogy and an example of how energy upgrading works. And they were he was communicating to me. I mean, I say they because it feels like a group of beings, but I think it's one person particularly who comes through. He was saying that raising our emotional vibration, so feeling better, is like moving up the elevator. And what you're actually doing, so if I move my vibration from feeling hopeless to feeling inspired, maybe going from a level 3 to a level 7, that higher level of emotional state actually clicks me into alignment with a new reality. And it's like the elevator doors open and suddenly you see a new reality, which we say, oh, these new things have manifested. He was saying to me, no, it's not like things manifested in your current reality. It's that you clicked into a new reality where those things already exist. And, you know, this is the type of stuff, like, I can't come up with this. Like, this is where I was like, whoa, this is mind-blowing stuff. So it's usually when I start to get that whoa feeling, I start to hear words that I wouldn't normally say. I start to get a lot of images. I hear words coming in my ear alongside my normal train of thinking, and I get that real rush of like warm, positive energy. And the energy comes in so fast that I can't keep up. That's usually when I feel like it's channeling. And channeling isn't weird. Like, I'm not doing anything weird. I'm not talking in tongues. My eyes aren't closed. I'm not in an altered state of consciousness. It literally just feels like I open up the door and then energy starts to flow in. That's sort of what it feels like. It feels like a stream of energy and words that just pour in. And so my only job is just to open up and receive them. Yeah, I hope that clarifies it. It's quite a difficult thing to explain. But it's been a really cool experience to, yeah, practice doing that. We'll talk about that a little bit further on in some of our classes on intuition. This is a good question. How do you balance making time and space for yourself when you're in a relationship? I find the days that I'm at home by myself, I'm much better with creating space and slowing down for myself, but I struggle on the days that I'm with my partner. I do still do as many little things as I can, but not as much as I would like. It was really interesting. My boyfriend was here. He ended up staying over last night and was here this morning. And I was sort of saying to him, I'm like, what's your kind of perspective on me and my self-care? He knows that I'm big into self-care. And, you know, how I would manage it around our relationship. And he was kind of like, well, when you're with me, you don't really do it. He's like, when you're with me, you're just really present to me. And I was like, yeah, I am. And it kind of got me thinking about it because I'm really mindful of this stuff too. I guess for me, I don't really practice my sort of, so she's saying not particularly self-care, but creating space and slowing down. So I do put a lot of my stuff on hold and on pause when I'm with my partner. So the way that I would eat by myself is different to how I eat with him. The way my nighttime routine unfolds is very different when I'm by myself, how it unfolds with him. And that's just something I've learned is part of balancing myself and my relationship. So my relationship with myself looks like one thing and my relationship with him looks like another thing. And I've kind of let that be okay. There are definitely times when there's been a few times actually that he's stayed over and I've got up early and done my morning routine, even though he's wanted to sleep in just because I've wanted to, got up and done some writing and some tarot cards and he doesn't really mind. And there's also times when I've gone to bed before him, like I did last night. He was staying up to do his tasks and I was like, I'm going to go to bed. And I did my little kind of nighttime routine by myself and then went to bed. So you can still integrate it. But when it comes to things like slowing down and making space, you can still slow down a lot when you're with your partner. And this is actually a beautiful thing to do as a woman. So remember, slowing down isn't just about doing, it's about the embodiment of a slower energy. And something I've really practiced, and this will activate your feminine and will really activate the relationship, is if when you're with him, you are, and I'm presuming your partner's a masculine partner, you haven't shared, but that's just, I'm making that assumption. If not, then sub in mask for femme or whatever, but with your partner. But for me, like, slowing down as a woman is so feminine, and it's part of just how you're being. So you can slow down the way you cook dinner. You can slow down the way you're walking when you're with your partner. You can slow down your breath. I really practice sinking more into my body and my feminine when I'm around him. So even if I'm watching TV, I'm practicing this slow, deep breathing into my body. I'm practicing being really present with myself, because my attention very easily drifts to him. So my practice is to work on actually my presence and my mindfulness in myself, my mindfulness to watch when he triggers me, when I get emotional, and to not react, but to work through that in myself when I'm with him. I practice slower, softer movement. I practice slowing down how I'm communicating with him. So I'm practicing slowing down a lot even when I'm with him. That's a big thing that I definitely do. The space is harder. Space is harder to practice when you're with someone, but you can still hold your own space even when you're with someone else. Again, just holding your awareness on yourself, breathing into your body, becoming present to your inner experience, even practicing presence with your partner, like being so present to them that they feel you fully there with them, being present to when you connect intimately, slowing that down even. So there might be different ways that you can integrate these things even into how you're relating with your partner, but it will be different to how you do it by yourself. It's different for me to how I do it by myself. And I've just let that be okay. It was actually a big adjustment for me, because I was like, and I actually remember my boyfriend saying this to me when he very first started sleeping over. He's like, how are you going to do your morning routine when I'm here? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to do it. I said, my morning routine will be just lying in bed talking to you. So that's still a very beautiful connected practice, but it's different on the days that he's here. Even last night, I got a little bit triggered by something, and I said to him, I'm going to go have a shower. And so I went and had a shower, and I just spent 10 minutes with myself reconnecting into myself, just breathing through the emotions that got triggered, bringing my focus back onto me, just gently kind of taking care of myself. When I went into the bedroom and I just kind of did a little body massage with some moisturizer. And I, even though he was here, I took a little bit of space for myself just to tune back in, because I was feeling a bit triggered. So that's how I manage it. I hope that's helpful. It's definitely difficult. And I've had to learn how to not be so rigid in my self-care and my self-practices, and how to actually have both. How to have my practices and have my relationship with myself, and then also have a beautiful relationship with him, and prioritize what's important to both of us rather than just what's important to me. And also, outside of that, make sure you're having enough time for you and what nourishes you. So that might mean, like, I sometimes need to say no to my boyfriend to be like, no, like tonight I just really want to have a bath and go to bed early rather than us doing something. Make sure that you've got enough boundaries so that there's still plenty of time outside your time in the relationship to be doing the things for you that you need. So what you'll do is you'll be filling yourself up outside the relationship, and then when you're with your partner, you're overflowing all that beautiful energy. So, it's just ensuring that you're really prioritizing those practices outside of, you know, when you're by yourself that really nourish you. That's how I manage it. I hope that helps. All right, final few questions here. So I'm coming on to the final questions. If any of you have additional questions who are on the call with me and you want to pop them in, I might have a little bit of time to answer them. But someone here has asked, this was actually a question from the first live call, but several questions went into my spam folder and I missed them, so I'm just revisiting them now. But this was this person's got a few specific questions around establishing a morning routine, which you guys might find really interesting. And I'll just run through them. Just some of them are sort of short little questions. What morning essential oil would you recommend? I think that's interesting because I think the choice of essential oil is so personal. I love doTERRA essential oils, and I think with essential oils, particularly if you have a selection, it's really nice to pick intuitively what oil you want to use in the morning based on what you need. Do you need something calming? Do you need something energizing? Do you need something that feels really spiritual? You know, I find frankincense a really spiritual oil. I find lavender very calming. Lavender is often my go-to. Or sometimes something with a bit of citrus is really nice because it's actually energizing in the morning. So I think it's about tuning into your intuition and asking yourself what you need and then picking an oil that aligns with that. Do you have any suggestions for natural skincare? Makeup, face wash, cleanser, moisturizer? I spoke on my recent podcast, my Q&A podcast, about how I actually at the moment am not as much using natural products. I'm using more dermatological based products because they actually work really well for my skin, which I know is maybe a dividing kind of thing to say, but that's where I'm at currently. But brands that I know of that I've used in the past and that are great, Inika Organics is great for organic chemical-free makeup. My friend Emily Banks runs Depths of Beauty and she is a massive advocate for Inika. Depths of Beauty is actually a great website to check out. Like I said, it's run by Em and she they do a lot of product reviews on there and recommend different natural organic brands that you can use in different categories of things. So I check that out. Mukti Organics, I really like. They've got beautiful cleansers, moisturizers, oils. Mukti's wonderful. I've actually met her, the founder, and she's great. Edible Beauty is another one that my friend Em raves about. She loves Edible Beauty. When it comes to moisturizer, I think pure jojoba oil is one of the best things you can use. I am using a cream-based moisturizer at the moment, but jojoba oil is very pure. It is the oil that is the most similar to the sebum of your skin, so it assimilates really well into your skin. For most people, it won't congest your skin. It's incredibly hydrating and, like I said, assimilates really well. So just pure jojoba oil is beautiful for moisturizer and then adding in essential oils, even blending up your own blend. With essential oils, my friend Tara Bliss, some of you may know her, is a phenomenal resource for essential oils through doTERRA. So you can check her out. They're the main ones. What else have I used over the years? I've used Sukin is another brand I've used. I've used, what else? I've often kept it pretty simple when I'm on the natural product train. I hope there's some good recommendations in there. Do you have a recommendation for a brand or type of probiotic? I would probably consult a naturopath or health practitioner when it comes to picking the right probiotic for you. I take a probiotic that was specifically recommended by my naturopath based on some tummy issues I was having because different probiotics have different strands and serve different purposes. So if you're wanting to really find the right one for you, maybe consult a naturopath. The one I take is Bioceuticals SB Flora Active. And I took that because that one actually works really well for me. It's actually used a lot for people who are traveling and who have upset tummies to actually rebuild your flora after, say, being on antibiotics or having diarrhea or whatever it is. That one assimilates really well with my body, but I've used a lot of different ones over the years, and you actually are meant to use different ones so your body doesn't get used to it. So you do 30 days on one, 30 days on another. I would consult a health practitioner for that. I've switched off coffee for cacao, but it doesn't taste great. I love this question because I'm just mixing it with water and adding almond milk and it barely seems to dilute it. Yeah. Okay. The key with a raw cacao, cook it on the stovetop. Number one, get a little saucepan, put in your cacao, and I would do half water, half milk. I personally prefer coconut milk with cacao because it's a little creamier. You can do, the coconut milk in a tin, put a couple of tablespoons in or or your coconut milk. But I think the key is half milk, half water. You want it to be creamy to cut through the bitterness of the cacao. Do it on the stovetop and use a little whisk because it gets lumpy. Whisk it up, a little handheld whisk. Whisk up your cacao, your milk, and your water. And then you can add some raw honey, maple syrup, cinnamon. That is the key. Stovetop, half milk, half water, whisk, and a little bit of sweetener. I think you'll find it is so much nicer. It can become so creamy and delicious. Love it. Final question. I want to wake up. I was talking to a coaching client about this yesterday. I want to wake up to a sound that makes me feel good and to start my day as I need to go on. Can you set a song or music as your alarm? Can you use an app for that? Cool question because, I was talking to a client about this yesterday and I showed her on my phone how I do it. And I'll show you for any of you who don't know how to set an alarm. That is a nice song because sorry guys, I have a lighting thing. It's really important to me to wake up to a nice sound. I can't stand the sound of alarms. And I actually have one of the songs off the Slow Down and Tune In playlist as my alarm. So in an iPhone, you go to clock, and your alarms come up. And the interesting thing is, I was saying this to my client yesterday, I name my alarms different things. And the alarm I typically wake up to most days is Good Morning Beautiful. You can name your alarm. So I name mine Good Morning Beautiful and that pops up. So let's look at one of my... So actually what you do, go up to the plus sign. The plus sign, you can add an alarm. Okay, set the time. So you can go to the label of the alarm, and the label's where you would change it off alarm and onto maybe what your affirmation is, something nice you want to say to yourself. Then you can go to sound here. Now this one isn't set to a song, this particular alarm yet. So then what it will come up with is a list of songs or the alarms. That's going to be backwards, isn't it? Sorry about that. But you can go pick a song. If you press pick a song, it brings up your iTunes library. I have two songs in here that are, I think, the two songs that start the Slow Down and Tune In playlist. One of them is a, let's see if it plays it. Oh, I thought it was going to play it. Let's see if it does it. Oh, usually it samples the song. Oh, yeah, here we go. This is actually what I wake up to. It's the song's called Data, D-A-T-T-A. Now, that starts off really soft. I don't know if you can hear it. Where's my microphone? But it builds. And as the piano starts, it wakes me up. And also the vibration wakes me up. But this is, I don't know if you can hear it, but that's such a nice thing to wake up to. Or I have Ludovico Einaudi, who's a pianist. Can you hear that? I love this song. Oh, I love it. So I wake up to that and then my phone says, Good Morning Beautiful. Or this one, Ludovico Einaudi, which is a pianist. I hope you can hear that. Oh my God, one of the most beautiful songs. So they're both on, both those songs are on the Slow Down and Tune In playlist, and you can download them into your iTunes. And then, Lexi, can you remind us where to find the playlist? Yes. I'll post it in our Facebook group because I actually realized I probably haven't posted it on there. And I thought I put it on the members site, but maybe I forgot to put it up there. So I'll put it in the Facebook group and then I'll make sure there's also a link to it up on the members site as well. Yeah, it's a really beautiful playlist, that one that I've collated, and it's just full of gorgeous, gorgeous songs. So that's all my questions. I think we've run pretty well time-wise. Thank you to all of you who have stayed here with me live for the whole call. I hope you found that really, really valuable. I've loved all your questions. Thank you for sending them through. I will get this recording up as soon as possible to the members site for you. Beautiful. Oh, Bruno, hello. Bruno says, thanks, Connie and everyone. Really glad I made time for the call today. Thank you for making time. Great insights. I struggle to say no and around the self-talk and creating a vision of what you want to feel to tap into different guidance. Beautiful. Also being present with your partner. Awesome. Bruno, so many takeaways. I'm so glad. Thank you for being here. Georgie saying, thank you, Connie. What a wonderful call. Lisa saying, thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you for being here. And thank you. Like I said, the questions are so great. And they're always things that everyone can relate to. And yeah, I really hope that what I have shared has supported you all. So thank you, Jackie. Thank you. So let's keep working through the work, right? We're starting to do some big work now about coming into yourself for guidance, your body wisdom. We're going to be talking about your intuition, receiving divine guidance, all that stuff coming up. So I know there's a lot in this course, but just keep working through it at your own pace and in your own way, and know that you can revisit the resources at any time if you do fall behind. Sending you lots of love. Thank you, Maddie. I'm so glad that was really helpful. My pleasure, Lexi. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. I will talk to you next time. Bye, everyone.